Ah, welcome to my inn, the Carriage Rest Inn, a place where the bard has tales that spin. As our weary travelers struggle to find their role in this world divided with souls that are full. Trust, confusion, loyalty are a greater foe than any arrow sprung from a bow. Who is dark, who is light, a constant battle over who is right. Listen as we begin here at the Carriage Rest Inn.
Last we left off, our adventurers were ambushed by the Ghazd silently plotting to strike within woods. Lucha, upon gaining control, immediately attacked Vaso. Luckily, Vaso, Nomis, and Soph quickly acted to distract and hide Vaso. But it wasn't enough. He was eventually found and overcome by the goddess's power. But luckily, before the goddess had time to murder Vaso, Woods, with the help of the fleeting remains of Sol Pelor, was able to repel the moon goddess and with the last of their combined strength, teleport the party to the safety of Sol Pelor's last remaining temple, Delray Sanctuary in Apicure. You all land hard on the temple floor. Vaso, you're still unconscious, bleeding from your wounds. Woods, you're exhausted from the internal battle you've been fighting amongst two different gods. Nomis, you're disoriented from sort of an urge of fight or flee, and then also a sudden teleportation. It takes you all a few heartbeats to notice that you're not alone, as a series of robed figures stand from their kneeling positions. Melwood, is that you? Woods, you look up and see your mother, Ashland. Melwood, is that you? She looks confused, but excited, and a little angry. As you try to talk to her, the last of your energy slips out and you lose consciousness.
It's dark and cold. Mama? Oh no. Mama, where are you? I can feel the ground wet under my knees. I'm scared. This feels different. I feel different. I'm so close to the ground. Wait, am I a baby? It's just flashes, images flipping through my mind like a children's book. I am there, in this cold place, on the ground, crawling towards something. Someone? Wait, a mirror? I'm crawling towards a mirror? Outside? That doesn't make sense. It's another baby. It's me? It's getting closer. She reaches out. I can feel it pulling me towards itself. To myself? It's so cold. What is happening?
Why am I so hot? Like burning.
No, it's cold. Like waves of cold rushing over me. Images flash again in my head. A dark forest. A hut under moonlight.
Mama?
No, not you. You're not my mama.
Yes, she is.
Who is that?
I'm Dolim.
A weak voice answers. No, I'm Melwood.
You are cozy, Melwood. Very warm. I like it here.
You can't stay here.
Yes. Yes, I think I will. I don't want to go back. It's cold there. It's very warm here. Like soup. Hot soup. All around me. Are you soup?
No, I'm Melwood. You can't stay here. Tears start to well. A hot flash burns down my cheek at the first tear drop.
Why are you crying, Elmwood? Don't cry.
Again, images of another life flash in my mind. Big, black, wispy ghosts. That woman again.
Mama?
The moon is full and white, searing light coming from it. Is this real or in my mind? The moon, it's moving towards me. Or us. Oh no, more tears, hot and burning. But now also cold tears. Are we both crying?
It's one of them, a Takawa.
Run, we must run. We can't move. The moon is getting closer. There's a hand reaching out, it's a woman. Old, with silver hair, pale, so pale her skin, it's almost white as the moon. She's reaching for me, no us, wait, stop, no!
It's not your time yet, little one.
Tucked away high on the south end of the quiet ridge mountain range sits a modest little village of Apicure, A series of pine and poplar yurts with leaf roofs and dirt floor adorn the Chaplain Ridge line. At the northwest point sits a large version of these huts, with a massive circular door with the words, "Her light lives within us all," carved on its radius. Inside the chapel, the pews are circled around an empty altar that sits 3 inches off the ground. The sun beams through a massive circular opening in the roof. This is the Delray Sanctuary, where generations of priestesses, clerks, and monks of Sopalor have lived and trained. As dawn breaks, the village is alive with the energy of a new day. The chapel is full of morning prayer, and the marketplace is in full swing. The smell of fresh bread and sweet sausage fills the air. You can hear the hammering and sizzling of the blacksmiths and the sweet sound of the gaggle of small elven children playing in the schoolyard nearby, waiting for their classes to begin. Melwood, Lydon, and a few other are walking back from morning prayer. Melwood plans to grab a hot turmeric tea from the market and then head out from her morning walk. As they enter into the market, an amplitude of piercing screams come from the direction of the schoolyard a few meters away. The group turns around. A rift has opened. She is stunned, bodies moving in every direction. She feels a tug on her arm. Looks over, it's her sister Lydon yelling at her to move. She's done the drills, she knows what she's supposed to do, but she can't move. A loud foghorn blasts in the distance. Her sight is going hazy, now blurry. She drops to her knees, the only thing she can do is pray. There's another pull at her arm, but she can't move. The foghorn sounds off again, but this time it seems further away. The voices seem to be muffling. The air isn't warm any longer. It's cooler. Not cold, just cooler. She tries to concentrate on her prayer, but the tugging is there again. She slowly opens her eyes. It's night. There's a light fog in the air. What's happening? She's confused, disoriented. She tries to stand. Her legs are heavy. She hears a voice.
Melwood, my darling. It's me. You're safe.
Sopalor? She thinks to herself. Or does she say that out loud? She can't tell. A little chuckle comes from the presence in front of her.
No, I'm afraid not. For I am the Night Lady, and I need your help.
The Moon Maiden? Wait, what? No. No, you have to be mistaken.
I assure you, I am not. You are the one.
But I'm a follower of Sopalor. This can't be right. Generations of my family have been chosen by her. We have the light within us.
Melwood, I need your help. I can help your village right now, but I need something in return.
My village, she thinks for a moment, and then all the memories come flooding back into her brain like a wave of emotion. Avakir, the rift. Oh no, she can't breathe.
Calm down, Melwood, my dear. I can give you something to save them. But you have to do something for me in return.
Melwood doesn't answer. Her mind is still racing with the thoughts of what happened. Are you still alive? Are they still alive?
You can save them. You can save them right now. Don't you want to save them?
Yes, I want to save them.
Okay, so in return, I need you to fight in my name. Pray to me. Be loyal to me and only me. You can do that for me, can't you? I promise you, as your love for me grows, so will your gift.
Wait, but I can't. So, Pelor, I serve her. Fight? What do you mean, fight for you?
Do you want to save your village, Melwood?
Yes. Panic is now taking over. Yes, do whatever I need to do. Just save them. Save them. As she screams the words, she can feel a cool bluish light come charging out of her chest. Tears running down her cheek. Save them. Save them. She continues to mumble as she falls to the ground. Dad, I have to go. I know you don't understand, but I have to.
You're right. I don't understand. Generations of your mother's family have served Sopalor. But you have to be different. You're breaking her heart. You know that?
I'm not doing it on purpose. I have this gift. I have to go. It's bigger than me. I reach into my pocket and can feel the silver moon charm that's nestled there. It appeared around my neck the day it all happened.
Oh, you have to go. No, what you want is the fame, the glory. It's vanity.
Oh my God.
Just because you have the gift doesn't mean you have to be in the order. Your job is to be here, to serve her. He points directly into the sky on this bright, sunny afternoon.
Melwood is listening, but she knows she's not going to change his mind. She had these conversations with everyone. She can't tell them. She can't tell them why she's leaving. That Lucha herself appeared to her. Lucha gave her this gift. Lucha is the reason the village is safe. It would break them. In their time of need, Soplor didn't answer their prayers. It was the Moon Maiden who saved them. She knows this would crush them. She knows the shame it would bring on her family if they see her denounce Sopalor and follow Lucha. She has already decided what to do. No, the shame of vanity. That would be better. At least they'll think she'll be fighting in Sopalor's name.
Don't do this. I beg you, Melwood Del Rey. I beg you. Please, my little mini Ola, please stay here.
She looks at her father, kisses him on the cheek. You'll see. I promise, she says. And then she leaves. As she's far enough away from her village, she stops, takes a deep breath, pulls out the silver moon charm and wraps it around her neck. She who guides us, she whispers.
As Woods passes out and starts reliving her memories, you sense a lot of commotion going on in the room. Vasa, you're still bleeding out. Gnomus, you're starting to kind of get your senses. The road figure starts to move towards Woods. But then suddenly it gets really hot as a line of fire goes shooting across, and you immediately recognize a roar that you're used to hearing more in a playful tone. As Soph has got down into a very guarded position, they are very confused as to what's going on, who hurt Vasa, why Woods has fallen over, and it's growling and showing its teeth. Vasa, I need you to make a death saving throw. You had one pass last time, so last episode you had a 17.
Natty 20.
Woo-hoo! Natty 20. All right. So
Woods says unconscious. What?
A 20 has been rolled.
I can sense.
So Soph, trying to organize as much as he can, you see that Soph is kind of like huddled over top of Vaso in like a very defensive posture. But then Soph realizes that Wood's too far away. So Soph starts trying to like pull Vaso with their claws over so he can bard both of them. But in the midst of all this kind of chaos, Soph accidentally hits Vaso's traveling bag and it just goes flying across the room, ripping open. Gear starts falling out, and most of it's just normal adventuring gear. Two things kind of strike your notice, Gnomus. One is the tapestry of Gnomus kind of furls out in front of you, which you haven't seen that in a while. The second thing you notice that piques your interest a little bit more is you hear this clinking sound as a wooden crown rolls across the table very slowly and wobbles to a stop. You instantly recognize that crown as the same counterpart that Vive had seen inside the Harbinger statue in Black Bay Harbor. A crown that you know in the Night Circle has been looking for exclusively.
That would definitely trigger Vive more, and I'm dashing right away to that crown.
Okay.
And my daggers are out. Like I don't want anyone else to touch this.
When the bag kind of ripped, it rolled more towards your side, so you can easily get to the crown, but you're not going to be able to get to the tapestry.
I think I'm more concerned about the crown.
Okay. Yeah, we'll say you're easily able to get to the crown, especially since the robe figures have kind of backed up a little bit with this sudden attack, quote unquote, from Soph.
How far away is the tapestry?
Let's say they're about 20 feet apart. But as you bend down to pick up the, crown, you see that one of the robe figures has already reached down to pick up the tapestry just because it was like right at their feet.
Put that down. Give me the tapestry or I will slice you from head to toe.
I'm going to say they're going to flee, but they're going to, in their panic, just run with, like, they're not going to drop in. They're just going to run away.
Do I see who has the tapestry?
I mean, yeah, you would see who has the tapestry because you'd be marking them as that person.
I want my tapestry.
No, you're good. I'm just trying to think how they would react. They're not really fighters. Mm-hmm. So someone threatens to slice them open, they're probably going to run away. Right now, all of a sudden, a dragon's breathing fire at them. The assassin is trying to kill them.
Can I still see the tapestry, or they tuck it away?
No, they're in their hand, just running away, so it's kind of flapping behind them.
I'm going to cast Mage Hand and have my Mage Hand grab it and bring it back to me.
Okay, I'll say that they had a pretty loose grip on it because they were more concerned in running.
Okay.
So we'll say that works out. Are you going to do anything about this dragon that's growling and stomping all over everything?
I think since the Vive part of me is still out, I'm going to pat it and good job. Like, praise it. I know I can't communicate with it like Vaso can, but you point at it, point to Vaso, and try to communicate good job. Or it's okay.
What is the meaning of this? Melwood, we need to treat Melwood. What's going on? Why are you here?
Who's talking?
The one of the robed figures that was trying to get to Melwood.
Oh, I'm ignoring them and focusing on Vaso.
Okay.
Because the gnomist part of me that had doubts of Woods is now resurfacing with this whole transfiguration and trying to kill Vaso. So I'm a little less concerned about you and more concerned about Vaso. So all my attention's on Vaso right now, trying to heal him.
Yeah.
Cure wounds. Well, I got my, I want to play my new flute.
That's flute?
Oh, to cast your spell?
Yeah.
That makes sense. I was trying to remember how we decided to do that.
I'm going to do a mass cure wounds on everybody.
That you are targeting. So that'd be Vaso and Melwood.
If she's in there, I guess.
Yeah, Sophie has kind of pulled the two together.
Okay.
But I do think Sophie would have probably put herself between Vaso and Woods, just because Woods was just trying to kill you. So I guess that would make more sense.
Yeah. So
do I not get it?
I'll let the player
decide. I mean, if you're in it, because it's anyone within 30-foot sphere. So if you're within 30 feet of Vaso, I'd say you get it. And it would be 3d8 plus 7.
3d8.
3d8.
2.
6.
6.
5. 18.
18, yeah, that's pretty nice. I think you're fully healed, right?
Yeah, I was only down 5.
Yep, you're unconscious for other reasons, not health-wise.
I'm emotionally
you're emotionally over-traumatized.
Do you have any, that flute can do it for emotional support?
Maybe.
Seeing that Melwood isn't bleeding out and Vaso starts to wake up, we'll say that Soph gets a little bit more calm, but still on defense. And for the next maybe quarter of a day, you guys are in a sort of standoff. The robe figures back up, but they don't necessarily leave, but they're also not going to approach a dragon until maybe everything's calmed down.
Okay. Vimus is definitely putting himself between Vaso and Woods, like daggers out, ready to attack Woods if she changes again.
Can we take Melwood and make sure she's okay?
Who are you?
I'm her mother.
Do you know what she is?
She...
Who she's become?
She was supposed to join the Order of Light. That's why she left us. She gave up her Del Rey name.
So you've never seen her turn into a goddess before? Tried to kill people?
No. We know she has the gift of light. Is that what the gift of light is?
No. It's far from it. She turned into this very light object, but not Order of Light. I think they're disconnected. But then a fire thing consumed her, and then we came here.
As the hooded person gets closer, she has the markings of Sol Pelor, our goddess. And she is pointing at her arm. I guess it would be her left arm, because that's the one that was holding the bow. And you start seeing like sunspots that look, you know, like henna tattooing up her arm. That's the mark of our goddess. And she like turns out of the way and points to a stained glass that has the same markings on them. She must have been touched by the goddess. And then she gets a little bit more of a serious look on her face. Does the goddess want him dead?
Yes. One of them does.
One of them?
What's... You could tell there was two different beings fighting for control. The first one wanted my friend dead. The second one was resisting and transported us here.
The second one, was that the one of light?
Yes. The more fire.
Sun.
Sun.
I mean, he'd recognize it as fire, so I think that's
true. Yeah.
Sun, fire, whatever you want to call it.
So the sun goddess wants this one to live.
I'd assume so. Based on everything that happened, the darker moon one stopped her attack on our friend once the fire one showed up.
The fire one stopped the attack. So we must treat both of them. Will you allow me to treat them?
Yes, but if she transforms again, I will not hesitate to put it into her to save my friend.
Okay. Do you want them in the same room then, or separate rooms?
Separate rooms.
Okay. We can get that arranged. And then they're going to bring both bodies, unconscious bodies, let's say, out into different medical tents. Well, different houses, but you notice that Epicure is a very, what did you call it?
Yurts.
Yurts?
Yeah, they're it's a mountain ridgeline kind of a town tucked up in the woods, very like cabin-y yurts, like leaf roofs, ground floors.
Is it like a Native American?
Yeah, something more like that.
Kind of, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they clear out two different yurts of the current residents that are there to make up little triage centers. I imagine Soph is going to stay with Vaso. Did you want to stay with Vaso as well, or do you want to keep an eye on Woods?
Oh, I'm like watching both.
Okay. So you're going to
position myself in the middle so where I can
go back
keep
and
an
forth
eye on
between
both
the
of
two.
Them.
Yes. Okay. Sounds good. Vaso, as you are in and out of consciousness, you start to have memories and some pleasant, some unpleasant of your upbringing. In your mind's eye, you see yourself leaning up against maybe like a blank wall. And you're just observing your past. What are some of the things that stand out to Vaso from his upbringing, from his childhood?
Well, let's see. A good one was out on the farm, doing an honest day's work, enjoying the sunlight, you know, just by myself, minding my own business, doing my own thing, and just enjoying it.
Probably coming home and enjoying a nice family meal.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about what's going on in the North 40 acres. And
right.
All that type of nice, relaxing stuff.
And then I would say, you know, there's a bad memory of being picked on for being small, not a full-size orc.
And then you remember...
A quarter orc.
Yep. And then you remember all the teasing.
As Woods would say...
Actually, I think I was one that coined that one, but yeah, you blame Woods.
Yeah, like just some of his classmates from school just picking on him.
How did Vaso feel during these? Was it more ashamed or was it more angry?
Just, I would say a little angry, but you know, maybe a little hopeless. You know, it was like something he can't control, so.
Yeah, so you'd start off angry, but then that anger would kind of dissipate into more of a depression of sorts.
Yeah.
Like it? Anything else stand out?
Yeah, just hanging out with Dad, and hanging out on the porch, living the peaceful life.
Nice.
The simple life.
All right, so as you're kind of leaning back on this wall, you are just observing kind of your life leading up to this point. As you said, some of it's good, some of it's bad. You probably do have a feeling that as time has been going by, it's been getting more and more complicated, more stressful. You start hearing sounds coming from behind you, but your back's up against a wall. So you're kind of confused by that. So you turn around and you notice that you can start seeing through the wall, kind of like it's a foggy mirror. And as you look more and more at this wall, it starts to become more transparent. You can see a bunch of orcs, and they are setting up like teepees and have fires with, you know, boars on spicks and playing dice games and just drinking ales and stuff like that. And then off in the side, you see like a ring, and there's two orcs in that are like just boxing each other. And you're like, okay, whatever. The scene kind of turns into smoke, and then you see those same orcs breaking down camp and then migrating to a different spot. And you see one that just keeps drawing your attention. He's much bigger than the rest of them. He's stronger. And somebody bumps into him, and he just pushes him off on the side. And he's like, no, this is my spot. You remember a happy memory, and that was the day you decided to challenge the lead of migration. It was an honor amongst your people to lead the next migration, and you decided it was time you participated in the battle of migration. It was leading into the final round. You made it all the way to the finals. You stepped into the ring, and you were going to be facing off with your opponent. We call him Borag. Borag was a leader for a very long time. He'd been through many battles. He had a missing eye from a fight he had with the Denoa recently, but that wasn't going to stop him. Who wants to run the Cyclops for this mission? Ryan or Sam?
Run here. You want to do it?
Go for it.
Oh, boy.
Scott Summers?
Scott Summers. No. Not Cyclops. That's awesome.
I don't understand that.
X-Men, Cyclops.
Oh. Not really the Marvel I'm into.
Only one rule in the Battle of Migration, and that is it has to be a fist fight. No weapons are allowed. You step into the ring to face down Borag. Go ahead and roll initiative.
Two hits. Me hitting you, you hitting the floor. Whenever you're ready. Bully.
Nine.
I'll say ties go to the attacker. In this case, Osop's the one that's challenging. So Osop can go first. You're in a boxing ring.
Do I just do the regular?
Yeah, you can just use your regular. So both of you can just use the regular attacks, but we'll just flare it as being... fist weapons, like punches. Gotcha. You're just going to deal more damage in this case.
Here, I have this dice that has various body parts on it if you want to decide where your hits land.
So 23?
Yeah, that hits.
9 damage.
It's green dots. Come on.
9?
Yep.
Where'd it hit? Roll the body part dice.
Full body.
Oh, right in the chest.
Is it all you have?
Osof steps in the ring. Feints a jab, leaves an opening, bam, right in the chest.
Borag winds up right across the face. 16 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
19 damage.
19 damage?
Yep.
Yeah.
He hits hard.
Borag.
he was a leader for a reason.
Who do you think you are? I let you walk away now, puny boy. I am the leader of this migration.
Borag takes the hit to the chest, laughs it off.
12.
Max. Osof right upside the head. Knocks him silly.
I duck right out of the way. Nice.
I like your Russian accent.
It would also help if you rolled a 20 and not a 12.
We're going to instant replay that.
It has been a minute since we played D&D.
Yeah.
We're going to start again.
I got you, bro.
I really enjoyed how you're...
we're going to redo that.
Yeah, yeah.
He faints, and then...
9.
Misses again.
Borag, want to play games with me? 12. No, 22. That hits.
Yeah. I don't know how to say yes in Russian.
Yeah.
Da.
Da. In the stomach.
Uppercuts to the stomach.
19 damage.
I'll give you another chance. 'Tis my migration.
With cat-like grace, Borag dodges the feeble attack and uppercuts him right in the stomach, knocking the wind out of him.
Okay, Osof is going to, he's going to get up and he's going to try to tackle him to the ground and try to get him in like a chokehold.
Okay.
So
competing strengths then.
I could roll something. 13.
I also got 13.
Tries to go to the attacker. So you're able to grapple him to the ground.
All you can do is push me over. I let you push me over.
What is the Cyclops' constitution?
+5.
You're trying to choke him out, right?
Yeah.
So you have him in a chokehold right now. We have 5 rounds of competing strength checks to see if you'll maintain all the way through to choke out.
Okay.
We have 1 already.
15.
16.
And
17.
Breaks out.
Borag reached over and found a pebble on like a rock on the ground and whacked you with it. To get you off.
Trying to choke me.
Wow.
And we're going to punch you for 24 across the face.
Go ahead and kill me.
Another 19 damage.
How's Osof doing over there?
Whatever, 19 times 3. Yeah, I'm barely alive. I got like 3 hit points left.
Okay, sounds good.
There's still a chance.
Boyarg's gonna walk up to Ozoff lying on the ground.
This is what you came here to do.
And Ozoff's just gonna kick him in the face.
while
he's standing over me.
Yep. Not yielding.
25.
That hits.
6 damage.
Ah, very flexible ballerina boy.
And he's just gonna. Are you laying on the ground?
Yeah.
He's just gonna do the whole like elbow full drop. Body drop.
Macho man it right off the top rope.
Yeah, for 26 damage or 26 to hit for another 19 damage.
And he's down.
And then Borag's gonna turn to the crowd.
This is what happens when you challenge me,
brother.
No, I am your leader.
Even though you lost that battle, it was still a pleasant memory for you because you got to challenge the great Borag. You didn't win the right of migration, but you did win the honor of being the military leader. So you took over control of the scouting party as a consolation prize of your performance.
Borag, after he circles the crowd and continues kind of threatening, will walk over and extend an arm to help you up.
Well, he's unconscious.
We'll say at this point you were just knocked down for the sake of the story.
He'll reach out and...
You are dumb and stupid. I'm trying. However...
You're calling me dumb.
I do respect the fight. And he like points at your heart. Aww, the fight sweet. Here.
That's why I didn't give up. I'll never give up.
Good. You can work for me. Head of military.
I'd be honored.
Yes, maybe one day you can beat me, but probably not. Slap his elbow.
You then have some more visions of Ozoff leading scouting parties, circling around Denoa, taking them out, keeping the camp safe. And you're kind of starting to enjoy seeing this other side, but then all of a sudden, the wall you're looking at just goes straight black. Can't be seen through anymore. And you kind of feel like something was just pulling and taken away from you. And you kind of fall into a restless sleep at that point.
Hey guys, it's Sam. Oh, we are almost done wrapping up season 4 and the entire storyline. We are so excited and thankful that you guys have been on this journey with us. We want to do a bit of a mailbag. If you have questions about the storyline, the world, the podcast, us as players, we would love to answer those for you as a little season finale. Regardless of where you are in the story, if you're starting with season 1 or if you're right with us at season 4, go ahead and send in your questions either on Instagram at @CarriageRestTalesD&D or shoot us an email at podcast@CarriageRestTales.com. As always, give us a 5-star review if you haven't done that yet on your favorite podcast platform. Share our podcast with a friend. We are so grateful for all of you as listeners. We cannot thank you enough. We are so excited that you've been on this journey with us, and we can't wait to wrap this story up. I hope you guys enjoy it.
No, miss. While our two compatriots are snoozing away, you are currently on guard. One to see if one's going to recover, one to see if one's going to turn into a goddess and you need to stab them. Is there anything else that you're going to be doing during this time?
I think I would be looking at the tapestry. And I think in a weird way, recalling, seeing the entity separate, recalling what it was like just being those people individually.
Okay.
See. Recalling what life was like as Gnomus, just happy all the time, playing music, and then Vive just mistrusting everybody out to get the world. I think he gets lost in it, of what he used to be and what he now is.
From behind you, you kind of hear, is that your brother?
And I roll it up.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to intrude. Are you okay?
Who are you?
Oh, I'm just a...
Sneaking up on me like that.
I'm sorry, I should have introduced myself. I'm Aspirin. Aspen.
I have a headache all of a sudden. With your annoyance.
I'm sorry, I'm Aspen Cypress. I should have introduced myself more noisily. I didn't realize I was sneaking up on you. I apologize.
I was lost in thought.
Oh, it seems like a lot has happened from what I've heard about my sister's sudden arrival. But can I get you anything to drink or eat while we wait for their recovery?
That would be very kind of you.
Any preferences?
Oh, whatever you have. And then from out of nowhere, not beef leather.
Okay, sounds good.
Don't know where that came from.
But
not beef leather.
I'll be right back. Keep the light within you. And he walks off.
What? What did you say to me?
Oh, I'm sorry. I said to keep the light within you.
What does that mean?
Oh, we try to keep Sol Pelor's soul within us so she'll bless us. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. Yes, I will be right back. And he kind of disappears. And while you're sitting there now kind of observing, you notice that there are quite a few people in robed figures, which you put together as priests. And you notice that they're all priestesses, all female. And the men are there more as a support role. So they're doing the housework, the gardening, that type of stuff. It's a little bit different from what you're used to seeing. But what really stands out is as you're thinking that Gnomus and Vive backgrounds, it's very strange that they have these kind of laid back lifestyle. Like there's nothing attacking them. There's no urgency to keep moving. Everything in Dorma, you remember, is always constantly on the move to keep in migration. Whereas here they've established, even though they're yurts, they've established their space, which is still an oddity to you, but not to Gnomus, and it's very confusing. But something kind of over here, like, piques your ears. You hear two of those robed figures talking. And then you hear them kind of look up at Vaso's yurt. It's like, oh, I wonder if any of his family has been impacted by the plague. I really hope they not. I don't want one of Melwood's friends to be going through something so terrible. And they're kind of just having that conversation as they are passing by, kind of looking up at his tent.
I think at this point I would interject. And what do you mean by plague? Do you mean Mordina?
I think that's what some people call it. Yes, apparently the orcs have been under a plague of sorts. They've had quite a few pass over the last month. He looks healthy, but he's also unconscious. I hope he's not being impacted by the plague or have family that has been.
I mean, whole Tabaxi cities and others have been impacted by this. How are you all not impacted? Where are your defenses from the Denomoa? Are you not afraid?
We rarely have Denomoa, and when we do, we usually will have the city watch from Kamachi run up and help us out.
How are you not concerned with everything going on?
It hasn't really impacted us. Sol Pelor must be protecting us.
Is this the keep the light within you? Is the light within you protecting you from
I would think
all
so.
These things?
Yes, I assume that she's keeping us safe.
The sun god that took over my friend is keeping you safe from everything.
She brought you here. She must want you to be safe as well.
I don't understand this. How a defenseless village is not impacted or has no care for the outside world. You all just sit up here and do nothing while everyone out there is suffering.
We pray to the goddess and she provides for us. Maybe if more...
And you don't think you should go out there and help? What are y'all doing up here?
Would it help?
Well, she's protecting you. Maybe you can go out and protect other people.
Maybe that's why she brought you here. Maybe we're intended to protect you.
Protect me? You think I need you to protect me?
I'm assuming the goddess knows more than I do.
I think a rock would know more than you. And I turn and leave.
So good.
Keep her light within you.
As yeah, they keep bow. That. Keep it to yourself.
As they bow and they kind of walk off.
Where's Aspen with my food?
Aspen would appear maybe 20 minutes later to bring your food and drink. He brought you... Let's say salted cod.
Because I'm a cat, right?
Yep, exactly.
Bacala.
You.
And
I don't know what
watered down ale.
Racist there. Would be for animals.
He's a purist.
And how are you related to Woods?
She is my sister, Melrod Cypress.
And what are your thoughts of her being taken over by a goddess and trying to kill my friend?
I'm not sure about trying to kill your friend, but I heard that she was possessed by Sol Pelor, which is a big honor we haven't seen in generations. I don't even know what the records show the last time someone's been touched so closely by Sol Pelor.
And why do you continue to worship a god that makes no appearance to you in generations?
And
as you sit up here, do nothing to help anyone outside of your village.
Her signs are here, but she just doesn't.
What signs?
Our safety. She keeps us safe. Under her rays, we are safe.
Thank you for my food.
You're welcome. Just let me know if you need anything else.
I sure will.
You say that We need to protect others. Do we need to go find your brother from your pitcher?
As you sit up here in your little protected bubble, people out there are dying.
Oh, you've heard about the plague.
I have seen it.
Can you tell me about it?
People just randomly die. Not by spear or magic. Just poof, they're gone.
That's disturbing. There's no way to
My whole kind was impacted.
Oh.
That's what we're hoping to figure out.
You're from Trin.
Descendants.
I heard that it had fallen. I'm sorry for if you lost some loved ones.
Which you all know nothing about up here.
Yep, loved ones.
Not ones that you've lost, apparently. The Noah of no concern to you. Other people of no concern to you.
The sun goddess protects.
The sun goddess that hasn't been seen in generations.
Well, she must protect us in different
ways. And you still
ways.
Worship her.
Yes.
Makes sense.
I am sorry if I frustrated you. I will let you be at peace.
Thank you.
He's going to walk away. Is there anything else you want to do before we wake up our companions?
I'm very annoyed by all this.
We couldn't tell.
That
you
these,
sit up here in
your little bubble. Little they bubble. Don't care.
You don't die.
They worship a god that hasn't been seen in generations, yet they still think they're protected. People are dying. They don't seem that concerned that one of their own is trying to kill my friend and then not. Whatever. I'd rather be around the truth seekers if that's the case. They make more sense than these people.
That's what you're thinking. And you're right back to Gnome Survive again. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the Gnomus part of me is like, oh, that's nice. But I think the anger and Vive is like...
coming out.
I'm predominantly Vive at this moment.
Okay.
Just pissed off that these people are up here and not doing anything. And I'm just still looking at my tapestry.
And you're looking at the tapestry?
Yeah, once I'm going to set up like against a rock or something so no one can...
sneak up on you.
Yes. And continue to look at the tapestry and try to make sense of everything.
One of the things as you're looking at the tapestry, you see the light and darkness. You see the yin and yang swirl, and you start thinking about the differences between Dorma and Ivana, about the light side and the dark side. There should be one thing that stands out pretty substantially to you as the player and the character. In Dorma, they are overrun and constantly on the move, but in Ivana, they're not. Why? Why are the two sides so differently? Well, on the Dorma side, they constantly have to move because they're constantly being attacked by wandering Denoa, which are made from all of the dark shards. Where are the golden shards in Ivana? They're not wandering around. There should be just as many, but they're not there. Are you doing anything with the crown?
I was actually going to write you a note about that.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, you didn't know this was really Ryan's episode.
I'm trying to get a little bit of everybody on this
you're
one.
Doing a great job.
All right, let's switch over to Woods. You toss and turn, and you finally come to consciousness. Woods?
I was a baby, and Dad, and Mom, and wait.
What about Mom and Dad?
Where? Who?
You look over, and you see that it's Willow Del Rey.
Willow, where? Okay.
Here, have some water.
Thank you. Willow, how did we get here? How did I get here?
The goddess delivered you. We saw her shining from you. Look at your arm.
So, and she's going to like touch the henna tattoo that now goes all the way up her arm. And
so, Valor? Wait, where was
She knows better not to say Lucha's name.
Okay, in the Delray Sanctuary.
The Delray Sanctuary. Who came with me? Was it just me, or there should be? Oh my gosh, Vimus and the dragon. Where are they?
The dragon's currently not leaving the bedside of the half orc that was brought with you.
Hey, where is he? And she's gonna get up, and she's gonna get up pretty quickly.
Go ahead and roll a Constitution saving throw.
15.
All right, you get up and you kind of get lightheaded and lose your balance, but you're able to like put a hand on Willow's shoulder to not fall over. I don't know if you should be trying to move so quickly.
It's Willow. It's fine. Hi. Where's Devasso? In a cat. I came with a cat, like a tabaxi.
Oh, the tabaxi. He's, I guess, standing guard. He's nervous. You're gonna try to kill.
I'm not okay.
Vasso.
Yeah. I'm not gonna.
Vasso. Is that what you said his name was?
Yeah. His name's Vasso. I'm not gonna kill him. It wasn't me. I wasn't killing him. It was... I just need to find him. I need to find the tabaxi. And she's going to walk out.
You see Gnomus, you would probably hear the commotion as the flap of the yurt flips open as you see Woods come stumbling out. I'm going to say at this point you're still a little uneasy on your feet.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, I immediately have daggers drawn and I am blocking the entrance to the yurt.
You can it's fine. It's fine. I'm not going to kill him. It wasn't me.
You continue to keep secrets from us, transforming into a goddess to kill our friend. And you want to come in here.
I was going to do, she wanted
to
that.
Check on him?
She overtook me and she played me and it started day one. She infiltrated me and it's the reason I was at the order and I didn't realize it. And I thought she was good and she's not good. And I didn't realize that until I saw that the Harbinger killed Sopalor. And I didn't know that. And she kept trying to get me to hurt him and I wouldn't. And I kept telling her, no, I kept fighting for him. I kept fighting for us.
Because you got pretty close to killing
both
of us.
It wasn't me. It was her.
Gnomus might be forgiving, but I am not. I think you need to go lay back down in your
yurt. Is he alive? Is he okay?
He's fine. You need to go rest.
I need
Maybe in the morning we can reconvene.
I need to.
He may not even want to see you.
Figure this out.
Yeah, you go figure that out in your yurt.
Listen.
No, you listen. We've had it with you keeping lies from us. You go back
lies?
Into your.
Really? Really? Vi or Gnomus? At what point, who am I talking to? Because this feels like Vi. So when you can hunker down and find my friend Gnomus, you come find me.
We will come find you in your yurt.
Are you going to go back to your yurt?
No, I'm going to go look for my mother. And I'm just pissed and I'm hungry. And
she's hangry at this point.
I got you.
All right. So Woods storms off, not in the direction of the yurt.
I don't care where she goes. It's not to see Vaso.
You, Gnomus, start to hear tossing and turning and kind of maybe some groans coming from inside the yurt of Vaso. So you can tell that Vaso's starting to wake up.
Once Woods is out of eyesight and ear sight. I'll go into the yurt and check on Vaso.
Okay.
Well.
Oh, the
he's awake.
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you feeling?
A little sore, but could be worse.
The wind immediately gets knocked out of you as so very excitedly jumps up on the bed and like just lands on you and starts like licking your face.
Oh, so get off. You're hurting me.
And it slouches off to the side, but it's just puts a head like on the bed while you're talking.
And I'm petting Soph.
I know you just woke up, but you have a decision to make and it needs to be made right now. We are in Woods's home village. She tried to see you, but I didn't think that was then your best interest since her goddess tried to take over her and kill you. Yeah. Do you want to leave now or are you wanting to stay and reconcile with?
Vaso's thinking hard and he
people want you dead.
I know.
My side and her side want you dead.
Yeah, we got to get out of here. I got to go find my other half because I'm starting to see visions of him. I have to merge with him because it's not just her and your side. It's the people trying to kill him too. So we got to merge, become one. I have a better chance of surviving that way. We got
to
go.
Are you ready to leave now?
Yeah, let's do it.
So you guys are going to collect up your stuff with Soph and exit. You did hear when you were talking with Aspen, you had said, I think it was Aspen. No, it was one of the two road figures. They had said that whenever they had Genoa problems, they just called up the city watch from Kamachi, which is where you're trying to go. So you find out that Kamachi is only about a quarter day's walk from where you're at.
Do we know which direction? Or can I easily find that out before
we go? Easily find that out before you go. Okay. I'm sure there'd actually be a pretty well-worn trail going that direction. It'd be pretty obvious.
Well, what's in our favor is we are now very close to where we need to go.
That's good.
I'll find him some food, pack up.
While you're walking up. Okay. So you guys exit going south. Let's say Woods was walking north to go talk to her mother, Ashland. You would find her in the Delray Sanctuary praying to you, Sopalor.
So she walks up to the large yurt that's at the north of the city, and she walks to the large circular door, and carved in it are the words, "Her light lives within us all," and she actually says that as she opens the door, and she walks up to the altar where she finds her mother, and she sits beside her, kneeling, facing the same direction her mom is, and she says, "Keep the light within you." And her mother would reply,
"Under her rays."
"Mother."
"Yes, Millwood Cypress." And that sting kind of hits you that she did not refer to you as Del Rey.
I think I need your help.
"How can I help?"
"I don't actually know." And she's just going to start crying.
As this story pulls on your soul, in the end, we hope it is full.
Hey guys, it's Mike, your host and Dungeon Master at Carriage Rest Tales. I just want to say thanks for taking the time to listen to our podcast. It really means a lot to us. If you are enjoying the content and you haven't already, please give us a 5-star review. It's really going to help us grow our listenership and be able to reach more people. I also want to give a special thanks to Tabletop Audio for providing the background music for today's episode.